The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
This is how we do it.
I mean, all we've heard is you guys need to talk more abs. You guys need to talk more abs. Talk more abs. All right. We're talking about the abs.
We've always talked about the abs.
Right.
What are you talking about?
So wait. Hold on. Is it you just want us to say nice things about the abs all the time and just, you know, say nice things about everybody?
Do you
want us to talk about the abs?
No, I mean, I was very confused by the Bowen Byram story. I still don't understand that. It sounds like a complicated situation. It's just confusing to me that a guy has to leave the team over an injury. That doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't even understand the process behind that. So if somebody's hurt, you sit them. They don't play. But you don't have to leave the team. So I just literally don't even understand the story.
It sounds complicated to me. And by the way, what do you think? I'm the one generating trade Darcy Kuemper? You think I'm the only one talking about that? What are you, nuts? It's what everybody's talking about. I'm sitting there.
It's the only problem with Avalanche right now. And I would agree with Adrian. I don't think the Kuemper's been a disaster, but it's the only weak link that they've got. So logically, of course, it makes sense that if you're going on a run here, you try to improve your only weak link.
And don't get me wrong. I love Adrian Dater, and he is so great on our post-game shows. So no offense. It's a No Offense Friday, right? But I just lay out how the Avalanche are playing the worst team in the NHL for the next two games, the Coyotes.
Right.
And he talks all about the money line and, like, you know, this should be a sure bet. And I'm like, yeah, it should be. And he goes, but look what happened against the Kraken. And I'm like, yeah, because they had Kuemper. They should have killed them, too. So you can't sit there and say, well, you never know. Maybe you do never know. Well, why do you never know? Because we have Darcy Kuemper as our goalie right now. That's why you don't know.
Well, sounds like Adrian likes Darcy Kuemper.
No kidding. What time is coffee?
You know, I think it's pretty simple. If you're in a championship run, you do what the Rams did. Seriously, you do what the Rams did. That's where the Avalanche are right now. You're the big dog. Yeah, you've got no weak links. Your only weak link is your goalie play. And that's not necessarily been a disaster, but if you can get better going into the playoffs, why the hell would you not get better?
One of the things I love about covering the NHL and Bednar in particular is he's honest. Now, does he come out and just say, Darcy Kuemper scares the crap out of me and it's a miracle we win any games with him? No. But does he more or less say that? Yeah.
I mean, how many times did the Avalanche won a game 7-5?
It's crazy. Well,
6-4.
Tyler, they won 5 games in a row where they came from behind, which is the first time they had, they tied some sort of record. It's like ridiculous. Like, that doesn't happen.
Well, just their games are insanely high scoring all the way across the board. Yeah, they score a lot of goals, but they give up a lot of goals. And the sad part is they don't give up a lot of shots on net. They don't, but they give up a lot of goals.
No, they're like, if you just want to look at some of the numbers, the Avalanche are clearly the best team in the NHL, except at goalie. But if you want to look at defensive scoring, shots allowed, offensive scoring, Kadri should be an all-star. He's the fourth leading scorer in the NHL. You've got the best defenseman in the NHL.
And of course, the dumbest rule ever is that every team has to have a representative at the All-Star game. That's not an All-Star game.
You have the most dominant.
What are we talking about?
You have the most dominant offensive line in hockey.
Kadri's like playing better than he ever has.
Kadri's unbelievable this year.
And you hate him.
I don't hate Kadri.
You used to.
I don't anymore.
Yeah.
No, I've said...
What have you done for me lately, right?
I've said nice things about Kadri since August. I've been a big Kadri fan, and I am a big Kadri fan. No, my criticism of Kadri...
You're ready to give up on him because you're like, if a guy makes the same habitual mistakes...
It was frustrating.
If you can't trust him and he goes out there and do that, you didn't even want him on the team.
It was frustrating.
You can't change the narrative. That's where you were. And it's fine that you feel different now, that's for sure where you were.
I didn't think they could, I was hoping they could win without him, but because he put himself in a bad spot getting suspended right when you needed him the most. They won 6 straight games, so I was like, oh, okay, maybe you can survive. And then they tanked it out to the team that lost to the team that lost to the team that lost to the team that won the Stanley Cup. So, no, I love Kadri. I'm a big fan of Kadri. I think he is incredibly valuable to the team, and I'm thrilled that he's on the Avalanche.
I'm so curious by this Bowen Byram story, and I know Adrian was uncomfortable with it, but
sounds sad.
Of course it sounds sad, but it sounds like a very complicated situation that is fascinating. I've just never heard of a player having to leave the team over injuries, on a personal choice. I'm going to leave the team because of injuries. I don't even understand it.
All right, this is speculation, okay? So I don't have any little birdies or any inside information with Bo Byram at all. But let me just tell you a story. This goes way back to my Buffalo days. Pat LaFontaine, great American hockey player who played for the Sabres, incredible goal scorer, but smaller guy. Pat LaFontaine just had a series of concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was friends with Pat. I covered the Sabres. I worked for the Sabres for a year. And Tyler, he had the darndest time recovering, not just physically from the concussions, but psychologically from the concussions.
Oh, no, D-Mac, I get what's going on there. And I don't even need to speculate on the impact of the concussions on Bo. I don't need to speculate on that. I know that that's what's going on. The complicated part of it is that most of the time when a dude's hurt, well, you just put him down. You take him off the squad for a little bit, and or you just sit him and you don't play him. You don't even do anything with the roster. But a guy doesn't have to leave the team over an injury.
Well, that's where I think mental health issues are a difficult thing to diagnose and figure out.
Well,
things complicated.
I mean,
that's where I was going.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. I feel you. So maybe it's deeper, and maybe it's this game has impacted me so much. Do I want to play this game? You know, and certainly I don't want to speculate on what he's going through, but
right.
It's just a weird, complicated situation.
It's just, of course, I've just been around him just a little bit because he's had so many problems. But boy, just such a nice dude.
And, so young.
Oh my God, 20 years old. It's just, I have these crazy moments now where I'm covering guys in professional sports of the same age as my own kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to sort of pull for those guys. You can just get it. But anyways, whatever. Well, hopefully it's good. And you're going to the game tonight. We'll have our post game show. They're going to clean up on the Coyotes. I don't even know how the betting in hockey goes.
I just saw the funniest text. I like the rule that every team has a representative at the All-Star game. Sincerely. Dick Monfort.
There you go. All right. What are you looking forward to most this weekend? What's got your interest the most of everything that's going on?
I mean, the most interesting game is coming up on Monday. I cannot wait to watch that Rams Cardinals game. That being said, I just love playoff football. So I love the fact that we're going to have 3 days of it. Totally against James and Zach on that one. I think that it's fantastic that it gets spread out. Hey, give me more days to watch. That's what I'm talking about. So, I'll be keeping my eyes on Jalen Hurts, of all people. All right, if we're in the market for a quarterback, I think there's two quarterbacks in the playoffs that, in theory, would be tradable commodities. That's Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's Jalen Hurts.
Hurts, really?
Yeah. I don't think I don't think the Eagles are all in on him.
Walk me through that one, though.
Well, I don't know what to walk you through.
Who are the Eagles going to have as a quarterback if he's not there?
Some young guy. Somebody they draft. I don't know. Who are the Broncos going to have as a quarterback? I don't know the answer to it, but I'm telling you this. There's two quarterbacks in the playoffs right now that their team is not sold on them. Jimmy Garoppolo. Obviously, they're going to be moving on to Trey Lance at some point. Jalen Hurts. They're not sold on him. He's overachieved. He's put himself in a position where it's going to be very difficult to move on from him. But you're telling me if somebody offered them a first rounder and some change for Jalen Hurts, they wouldn't trade him?
They have.
Of course they would.
That's an interesting concept because they have the 15th and 16th pick. They were actually doing much better. They had like top 10 picks.
Okay.
So they actually won some games.
They're sitting there 15 and 16. So yeah. They've already got two first rounders. That's already easy for them to move up for a quarterback if they want to. If they pick up an additional first rounder from the Broncos or from whomever else, they've now got three first rounders. They could fire up and get the first or the second quarterback off the board.
Jalen Hurts. Wow. Okay.
Now, all that being said, I'm not overly intrigued by Jalen Hurts. I'm not intrigued by a project. I think that he's interesting because he's got a skill set that you can – move the ball with. Like, I know no matter what with Jalen Hurts, you can move the ball just based off his feet. And you know you can move the ball, but can you score? And if you look at, like, the Green Bay Packers, Nathaniel Hackett, the way that he's calling plays, when they get down there in the red zone, what do? They put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands because that logically that makes sense. You want the ball in your best player's hands. Well, teams that struggle in the red zone are teams with mediocre quarterbacks.
There's a sneaky story in the NFL, and I think it somewhat relates to you. Let me run this past you. The Rams have signed Eric Weddle,
yeah,
who is 37 years old, to their team for this playoff game.
Been retired for 2 years.
37. Apparently he stayed in shape. And they're adding him to the roster. Now, you would think that's crazy. How are you even allowed to do it? I actually don't know how you're allowed to do it, but it actually happens more often than you would think.
Why would you not be allowed?
I don't know.
You're still playing football.
I think they would freeze the rosters at some point, and you couldn't add new guys. You could add guys from your practice squad.
I mean, they freeze the trades. They freeze free agents for the next season that are going to be signed for futures contracts, right?
Yeah.
But if there's somebody on the street that you need that's available to play football, it happens every single year.
It does. I don't think it really happens in other sports, but it does happen in the NFL, primarily because there's no real developmental league. Where would you guys bring guys up from? But every time it happens, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow.
I just think it's hilarious. You know, Weddle said that he got a call from Raheem Morris, and all he asked him was, "You're not fat and out of shape, are you?" I mean, he's been out of football for 2 years. The idea of myself coming back and playing football after 2 years of retirement, that's insane. Because
maybe not.
For me, yes, that's insane. Because I play a position in which you have to keep the weight on. I could come, but 2 years after I retired.
What if you didn't play the same position?
If you gave me that's where I'm getting at.
Okay.
If you gave me an entire off season to put the weight back on and all that, maybe. But I play a position in which my body is transformed. He plays a position in which if you go into retirement and you continue to work out, his body looks the exact same. He's also a guy that has proven that he's capable of playing well into the twilight of his years. He had a long career. He's got history with the Rams. He's got history with Morris. I think it's a logical signing. I like it. I think it's creative.
Sure. And the Broncos signed Nick Casa, CU Buff, for the Super Bowl, which was crazy because he was in the stands for the AFC Championship game.
Way different signing, though. He was signed as a potential developmental guy for the future. He wasn't signed to have any impact on our playoff run.
The Denver Broncos, my favorite story, is signing David Binn when Lonnie Paxton sadly had... Actually, everything turned out okay with Lonnie and his wife, but they had a scary moment in his wife's pregnancy, and Lonnie had to leave the team as the long snapper.
Yeah.
And they hired David Binn for it was the game after the Tebow Steelers DT game. It was against the Patriots, which they got killed. But David Binn had been, first of all, he had played for the Chargers for like 18 years or something. He had dated Pamela Anderson. He had just been kicking around doing nothing for a year. A knee injury ended his long snapping career. He did nothing for a year. And the Broncos hired him on a Friday to come out to snap on a Sunday. I don't know if the players on Orlando says that he was on that team and he all of a sudden he just saw a guy he had never seen before on the field. He didn't even realize what was going on.
I mean, by far the easiest position. I mean, even more so than kicker or punter. If you had to bring somebody in off the street to contribute on day one, long snapper, can you snap a ball? If you can snap the ball, you can play for us.
And that happened. He came in about a dozen long snaps, hit all of them, and then he was cut immediately.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't on the team anymore. It was one of the wilder stories. Weddle will see what he contributes. But my question to you is, the play that really killed the Broncos against the Chiefs was when Albert Okwuegbunam in a three tight end formation missed his block.
Mm.
If you were signed by the Denver Broncos for one play, and that would be a position that Albert O was playing, would you have been able to make that play better than Albert Okwuegbunam?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. If that's literally my only responsibility.
Your only responsibility. Like, we have this one play.
I have to block a defensive end on a run play.
Yes.
Could I have made contact and kept contact?
Yes.
And not allowed him into the backfield?
Yes.
yeah, of course I could do that.
Yes.
I mean, if you asked me to play tackle and try to pass block against Von Miller even or pick anybody, no, I mean, it's going to be a joke. But my only responsibility is to come in and be like an extra tight end.
Yes.
And I've only got five or less plays.
Yes.
Okay. Probably.
To me, that is such an amazing... That's the Tyler Plumbus movie, by the way.
Right.
That's the Disney movie that somebody like you, or maybe you specifically, because when you think of that play, it's kind of crazy because Saubert was being used on that play. All the tight ends were being used on that play. And it was a breakdown for that one player. If there were 100 things that had to be done on a football field, he could probably do 99 of them better than you.
Of course.
But not that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, logically, even if you needed somebody to have that role, there's current guys that are in the NFL that are in good shape that could do it at a much more effective way than I could. But if you're asking me, could I do it better than he did? Yes.
I'm just thinking about how fun that would be, man. If you got a call for one, like they thought that play was so important.
Give me a call. Somebody call me. I'll do it.
We've seen guys called in for other specialties, right? There are guys. It's the NFL's crazy like that. There are guys in there for very, very specific reasons, you know?
I mean, my particular skill set as an offensive lineman, it's not a one-off skill set. So I would never have a call like that. But if you were a specialist, if you were a kicker, if you were a punter, or even like a safety or a defensive back, I think that it makes sense.
Do you think there's any, we have so many ex-pros here at the station. Do you think there's any other ex-pros that could still, right now, if they just, it was just a play or two, could do it?
Nate Jackson could.
What could he do?
He could do that job better than Albert O did.
That particular job.
He could go out there and he could put a body on a body and he could die slowly. Yes. Yes. Could Brandon Stokely catch a third down?
Could he?
Yes, he caught Peyton Manning's pass, didn't he?
would he possibly be a better option?
No, none of us would be a better option than anything. Zero. There's nobody on staff that would be a better option than an active player.
You need a third and four across the middle catch.
Yeah.
Is Stokely a better option than Jerry Jeudy?
Hell no.
Okay.
What are we talking about here? Hell no.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who else would be a slot receiver? I mean, I'm thinking of a slot receiver sort of role.
No. Do I think that Stokely could catch a pass? Yes. Do I think that he could get open in a more effective manner than any active player? No.
Maybe I shouldn't compare it to active players, but maybe could he make the play? So you think Stokely could at least still to this day make that play?
Yeah, I think Stokely could go out there, you could run a route, and he could catch a ball. Sure.
Okay. Stink. Could he make a play?
Stink. If you're just using the one example of Albert Okwuegbunam, he could do it better than that. That one play, he could die slowly. Sure.
Okay.
D-Mac, none of us could go out there and be better than
all
any
right.
current
I'm
free
just
agent.
Asking, could you make a play? That's all. I guess I'm asking is, could you still make a play?
Yeah.
So
no,
you think
no.
Stink could still make
no,
a play?
No. Because if you're asking make a play, you're inferring that you could do it more effectively than a current option out there. None of us could do it better than anybody that is currently playing in the NFL.
Okay. I just think it's a
fun concept. Could we go out there and die slowly? Yeah.
Yeah, I might be able to make that play better than Albert O.
No, let's not go crazy.
I mean, I'd just get run over. That would be better.
Seriously, let's not go crazy.
Albert O didn't even touch the guy.
Let's not just lie.
By the way, have you actually watched that play in depth? Have you gone?
I haven't gone back.
Oh, my God, dude. It's embarrassing.
I don't even know whose fault it was. I don't know what the play was.
It was Albert O's fault. Yeah. And I know that because, well, I don't think that. I really do know that.
Okay.
On that one.
I don't remember what the play call was. I mean, I could tell you the situation. I could tell you the fumble. But I don't know. Like, was it an 18? Was it a power? I don't even recall what the play was.
It was three tight ends, one running back. I don't know. And then it was, you know, let's try to hand the ball to Melvin.
Might have been, that sounds like a duo. So that sounds like, I think that was probably a duo then. I don't know.
It ended the game. That was it. I mean, it is crazy sometimes. You go through the entire process for a game, and then it's just, you know, man, it's like a play. it's a play, and then you can't get anything back from it. It's just done.
If I had to bank on one guy on staff that would be the best, the most effective at doing something, I might take Nick Ferguson.
Yeah? Yeah, Nick is ripped.
Put him on a special teams play.
You know, Nick would blow somebody up. I'll guarantee
put him on punt or something. Yeah, I might take Nick.
Nick is a gunner or just doing...
No,
just,
not a gunner. Definitely not a gunner.
Not a gunner?
Hell no.
Gunner
requires... You got to be the fastest dude on the field.
Okay.
But you put him as like right guard on a punt team.
Yeah,
he could probably do that.
Nick is in great shape.
Yeah.
Is Nick in the best shape of any of the ex-athletes on the pros on the station right now? I mean, Nick is in pretty sick shape.
Well,
not the Muggles. The Muggles are their own category. We're not talking about the Muggles. We're talking about the pros here at the station.
I'm the best looking, so I know that much.
You think you're better looking than Nate Jackson?
Mark Schlereth can bench press the most.
You think you're better looking than Mark Schlereth?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Boys, how delusional are we getting right now?
Not even remotely. I mean, have you seen my haircut?
You think you're better looking than Chad?
Tune in on Twitch.
You think you're better looking than...
I'll wink at you.
Chad Brown or Nick Ferguson?
Am I better looking? Yeah.
You may be the worst looking ex-pro here at the station.
Dude, this beard, this is sex appeal.
Wait, I'm trying to think of a one of the ex-pros here that you're actually better looking than.
All of them.
Stink? No.
Every last one.
Chad? No. Nate? No. Nick? No.
Yes. All of them.
Stokely's...
He's got some biceps, but the dude's ugly.
Screw you, Tyler.
No, you may be the worst-looking ex-pro here at the station.
Zero chance.
I mean, we just have some good-looking dudes here.
Put up a poll. Zero chance.
I'm just talking about the ex-pros here.
Truly had to take the jokes aside, the best-looking ex-player, Chad Brown.
Okay. Number two.
The dude doesn't age.
Let's keep going.
He's 50 years old.
I'm not disagreeing. Right. Chad's number one. Who's number two?
Me.
Oh, my God. You think you're better looking than... Come on.
Yeah.
Stop.
Well, 100%. Who? Do you not realize how dapper I look right now? Like, I get 10 tweets a day asking if I'm on The Bachelor.
I'm not saying you don't look good. Do you look better than every single Muggle on the station? Yeah.
Yes.
Except for maybe Marillette. Really, seriously, he's got eyes.
James is good looking.
It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, he's got that perfect Shanahan glow.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. Let's take Marillette out of it. Do you got all the Muggles? Sure. Yeah. I'll give you over all the Muggles.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right, I mean,
I don't need to get into how ugly I am.
If you want to rank the athletes, go ahead. You're going to realize I'm number two.
There's no way you're better looking than Stink. He's a movie star and a soap opera actor.
I mean, how much Botox does he have, though?
Well, who cares? Right. We didn't talk about who's all natural or not. We can go into hair surgeries, too, if we want to talk about unnatural things.
Well, I did have to fix that up.
Yeah.
But I got it fixed.
No, you're not better looking than Stink.
By the way, Stink needed some help there as well, just for the record.
No kidding. I'm not saying Stink hasn't... Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying Stink hasn't had help, but here's three that are definitely better looking than you, which is Nate, Stink, and Chad. Period. The end. Oh, by the way, Nick is too.
I'm shocked to hear this about Stink. Like that one, I don't get that one.
The dude's on national TV every week.
That doesn't make him good looking.
It helps.
He's not Joel Klatt. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Should we put up a poll? I mean, I'm smelling a poll right now. Put up a poll.
All right. Here's how I really think it would shake loose.
And Nick, by the way, jokes aside,
I think it's going Chad Brown number one.
Okay.
I think it's Nick Ferguson number two.
Okay.
I think that it's Nate Jackson three, me four. I'm definitely better looking than Stokely. I'm definitely better looking than Mark. Yeah.
I'm out. Heck, we just had no Sean Moreno on here. We could throw him in the mix too. Yes. Yeah. Orlando. Sure.
Are we being serious? Orlando? you guys saying that with a straight face?
You got a question for Tyler? 303-713-1043. Mount Palomas Peak is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
Mount Palumbus Week is presented by Plumbline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. Appreciate Tyler, D-Mac, you guys are getting me laughing so hard at your beauty contest conversation. And other people said they'd turn the station off. So that's so funny.
I was having the old conversation, and then I turned around, and I realized that Nick was sitting in the studio right behind us, and yes. I looked at him.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Nick's
no chance.
He's a good-looking guy. Kagan Elizabeth, what's the... Is this Mount Palumbus Peak? What's the best-looking tag team of radio partners?
Oh, well, that's the easiest question by far. Nate and Chad.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like, there's not even a close second.
All right, let me do a legit question. Got a bunch to choose from. We keep talking about coaching leadership. Is Bill Belichick a leader? Well, that's interesting.
Mount Palumbus. Speak!
Well, hell yeah, he's a leader. Not all leaders lead the same way, and there's a lot of ways to be successful in life. He's chosen a method that is a little bit more old school, and he leads by fear. And he's the type of guy that it's not much fun to come to work, but you have fun winning games. So, you know, if you listen to ex-Patriots players, the majority of them, they hated their experience. But they all respect Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, it's pretty rare to hear an ex-player dog him as far as his leadership capabilities or his coaching capabilities. Oh, he's different. A lot of guys wouldn't like it. I certainly wouldn't like that type of leader. I had that type of leader in Josh McDaniels. I was miserable. I wanted to quit football. But he's got the success. So if you've got the success, well, there's a lot of ways to lead.
That's well said. Yeah, he's definitely a leader.
I like this one from Denny.
Hard to lead that way, though. Yeah, go ahead.
So seeing as we just got rid of a coach who is better off coordinating on a specific side of the ball, don't you think hiring an OC or DC might lead us down the same path of a half-neglected team? Dude, Denny, I totally understand your question, specifically in regards to Vic Fangio, because 100% he was focused all in on the defense. But what do you think every head coach, then outside of the Ravens, who has a special teams head coach, every head coach has got a specialty. They were an offensive coordinator. They were a defensive coordinator. They've got a side of the ball. There are so many coaches in the NFL right now, head coaches, that are still calling plays on their side of the ball. Mm-hmm. You could go down of it, and it's probably half the league, if not more, that are specialized on one side of the ball. That's the way the league works. So if you want a guy that is truly going to be neutral, I guess you could hire a special teams coordinator. But that's not the point. Like, I'm not afraid of hiring a defensive-minded guy. I of course, I want offensive innovation, but I just want a dude that knows how to be a head coach. I want a dude that knows how to manage the clock, that knows how to call timeouts, a dude that knows how to schedule practice, a dude that knows how to lead, a guy that knows how to inspire. And I don't think that needs to be specified to one side of the ball or the other. Would it be great if that was an offensive guy? Sure, because then you don't have to worry about offensive coordinators coming and going. You know, you never have to worry about it if you have the quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers, If you've got Aaron Rodgers, you could have defensive guy, offensive guy, you could have a special teams coach. It doesn't matter. You're going to be successful. But right now it feels important because you're still chasing the quarterback, and it feels like, hey, we might swing and miss again, but we need a vision. We need somebody that can get you there. So I'm not afraid of hiring another defensive guy, and every single coach you hire is going to have a specialty.
Here's what's going to be tricky for the Broncos. It's about to happen. You can see it a mile down the road. They're going to say, hey, we had a really good interview with Luke Getsy. Surprised us, but it was really good.
Good.
They are going to be blown away by the energy and enthusiasm of Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
He is going to catch them by surprise on it. And it's going to create a little bit of an interesting dilemma, in my opinion, meaning it is going to be very, very, very difficult to match that. I'm not going to be surprised if Nathaniel Hackett does something quirky slash different in the interview than everybody else through his presentation.
Yeah.
Because that is what he's kind of renowned for. Depending on how technical it is or if there's music involved or who knows. But there's going to be something about Nathaniel Hackett nobody else is going to have. You think that will be a good thing at the end of the day or a bad thing?
Oh, that's a great thing. That's a fantastic thing. You need somebody that can get the attention of the football team. You know, Nathaniel Hackett, I don't know him. I've just watched videos, but he reminds me so much of Dan Quinn. And I've got Dan Quinn as my personal favorite. And just look, full disclosure, I played for the guy. I love the guy. I've got personal experience, so I trust it, right? So that's the way the world works. I know more about Dan Quinn than I do Nathaniel Hackett. But if I was sitting in that interview, and if Nathaniel Hackett comes across the way I think he's going to, I think he's going to come across exactly like Dan Quinn. Like, their personalities are contagious. They're positive. They're different than the rest of the NFL. And he's an offensive guy, and he knows how to develop the quarterback. I could easily see how he could be the best candidate for the job.
I think Quinn's going to have at least four opportunities as a head coach. I think Hackett, he's going to have two. He may have three. Meaning, even if you want Hackett, you may actually have to pursue him a little bit. You may have to outbid a couple of other teams. If you want Quinn, you're going to have to be decisive, man. You're going to really have to prove that you're really our guy. Because if I'm Dan Quinn, I do want to go to a team that really wants me. That means a lot. I don't want to, you know, it's not the first time around for me. I want to go to my best situation, which would be financial, and it does mean something that you want me.
There's another layer of complexity for Dan Quinn also.
Yeah.
We'd have to change the defense, which means that
is that right?
Yeah, yeah. You got to change your personnel, and that'd be the first time.
That's interesting.
It'd be like the first time in 20 years that the Broncos have not run a 3-4 scheme.
Would it suit Bradley Chubb better?
Maybe.
Because that's who he was in college.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Bradley Chubb's got the build of a 4-3 defensive end, not
a
3-4.
So we go to a 4-3, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's who Dan Quinn is.
Interesting.
It's a 4-3 under front.
Well, that'd be fine for Chubb, I would think.
No, on the surface level, it looks very similar to a 3-4 because they play that under, which means they walk up the weak side linebacker. You got to shade 5-9. So it almost looks like a 3-4, but it's 4-3 personnel.
Well, that wouldn't be good news for Malik Reed. John, you know, those guys, that'd be...
But it's just another layer of complexity that you say,
that's
okay.
Really interesting. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big deal, man. That again, it likely would be a good thing for Chubb. It would be bad news for...
I mean, Dan Quinn would decide whether he feels like we've got the personnel to run his scheme or not, because he's going to be making that decision. So,
how would he set with...
He would have to sit down and look at it and just say, okay, do I think these guys could play the role that I've got?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God, that's really interesting. How would Shelby Harris be in it?
Oh, he's a 3-4 guy for sure. Shelby Harris is a 2-gapper.
Okay, so that's not good for him. I would assume Mike Purcell, that's not good news.
Draymond Jones would be okay. He'd be fine in a 4-down. Bradley Chubb would be fine in a 4-down. Malik would be pretty small.
Right. How about any of our inside linebackers?
Inside linebackers translate easier.
Yeah.
That's not as difficult. It's the outside linebackers that's the huge difference.
Right. Oh, well, we'd be getting ourselves a good free agent. Defensive end, sort of backer. That'd be awesome.
You would need to find your 5-tech. I don't know who that would be. I guess it'd be Draymond if I had to look at it right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. I never even thought that's really, really interesting because we're so used to it. I mean, when was the last?
We've had a 3-4 for like 20 years.
I know. I was trying to think the last time it was. Did Del Rio run a 4-3?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, man, that's really interesting to think about. Okay, game ball's coming up. No offense, Friday, if you got something to chime in, 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on the Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Man on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Worked all week, cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got to cover off the 68.
When do they put out new episodes of 1883? Do you know?
Sundays.
Oh, Sundays? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. In my Western picture.
Except for two Sundays ago when they missed the deadline. True story.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Two Sundays ago, no episode appeared, and it was like a huge controversy because everybody's waiting for it. They missed the deadline.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm getting caught up in things. I'm caught up on Cheer. Finished Hard Knocks.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have to talk about Cheer every single day?
Monica is one of the greatest coaches I've just seen, period.
Wow.
Tell me I'm wrong.
That's cool.
You got to watch it.
That's great.
Not a good year for Navarro, though. Pretty tough. No. Trinity. No spoilers, but I think I just actually ruined the entire series right there, actually.
No, you're notorious for that, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you really are. People get mad at you all the time for spoilers.
I'm caught up on Sex and the City.
Okay, that's good.
Carrie, she wrote a book. She's trying to, you know, Mr. Big.
Mm.
You know, trying to get back to the dating pool. So I'm trying to think what else I gotta get to. Ricky Gervais has a new show. They got a new series out, Afterlife. That one's really depressing, though. Super depressing.
Matt Smith sent me about 25 different shows to watch last night on Twitter.
So, interesting.
I'll get to those at some point. Yeah.
Tonight, the Avalanche take on the Pathetic Coyotes, who really are, I think they literally are the worst team in terms of points in the league. I believe they are. And they have a home and home, so the Avs should be able to catch up. And the Avs, after this weekend, maybe just, even though they have a bunch of games in hand, they still may be in first place. Who knows? In their conference. Then we have the, are you, any interest watching the Nuggets play the Lakers tomorrow?
Sure.
Got any kind of like, hey, let's see how we're doing against those guys?
Well, I'm always interested in LeBron James, no matter what. It's like, if you can watch Tom Brady, if you watch Patrick Mahomes,
you
try to watch it, right?
I agree.
So, yeah, LeBron James is always going to have an intrigue factor that gives you a little bit extra motivation. Watching the Nuggets, that's all the motivation you need.
The Nuggets are 21-19. The Lakers are 21-21. And it's just not LeBron, obviously. It's Carmelo Anthony comes back to town. Which is always kind of fun. And then we have NFL playoff.
Westbrook sucks. He's can't shoot.
Is he bad? Is he playing poorly?
Oh, he's been terrible.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you got the the Avalanche play. They play today and then Monday, I believe, at 1:00. They got a bunch of games here.
Dude, I mean, look. Let's keep it real. It's about the playoffs. It's on the horizon here. That's what's on the horizon. Even though the Broncos aren't in it, are you kidding me? There's some fun stuff, and there's fun storylines to watch.
I'm looking forward to it.
Monday's the best. That's going to be the best game by far. Cardinals-Rams, can't wait to watch it. And, you know, I'm really excited to watch San Francisco, just because I think that they're on a tear right now. And look, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's probably the best available veteran quarterback. He's not a free agent. But he's available, and man, I think you got to keep looking at him really, really close, especially if Dan Quinn is your coach. I could easily see him going to a West Coast system. I could easily see him wanting Jimmy Garoppolo, so I'm going to watch him. And I got a gut feeling that San Francisco is going to win a couple games in the playoffs.
Wow, that's fun.
So they got to play. They got to play the Cardinals. If they get past the first week, they got to play the Cardinals Rams. If they play the Rams, Kyle's got a pretty good track record against Sean. He just does. He's got a great track record.
How do you think Cowboys are going to do?
Who do they got again? Dang it.
Philadelphia.
Oh, well, they'll beat Philadelphia. Cowboys.
Wait, do I got that right?
No, they don't have Philly.
They don't have Philly, do they?
Cowboys have got the 49ers. So I got the 49ers beating the Cowboys.
All right, let me ask you this then. So I knew I was wrong about that. Said it with a lot of confidence. If the Cowboys lose, which would surprise nobody, and Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn are available, and you've already interviewed Nathaniel Hackett,
yeah,
do you think the Broncos will have their next head coach a week from today. Like, when we're on in a week from now, knock on wood, will the Broncos have hired their new head coach?
I don't think so. Things could take a little bit more time than that. It's very clear that George Payton's going to go through the process, and we got a lot of candidates to interview. That's going to take more than a week just to interview all these guys. So unless you're going to bail on those interviews, we're looking at 10-plus days, I think, D-Mac. So I'd be surprised by it, although it'd be great news. You know, D-Mac, I've had something weird happen to me, something that I can't quite explain. Ever since Colorado State hired Jade Norvell, I've found this, like, feeling of, like, empathy, compassion. I'm not sure if I'm rooting for him. It's a weird, uncomfortable feeling. But I heard him talking yesterday about Sonny Lobic and the history of the Rams. And here's what it was.
You know, I spent 7 years at Oklahoma and with Bob Stoops, and Barry Switzer's house was two blocks from the stadium. And so Barry used to come by, and you know, the facility's named after him and all that. I mean, he used to, with his golden retriever, his dog used to run through the building. And he was welcome. And that's the way we want Coach Lubick to be. This is his program. He spent a lot of years here, and I just have always been that way. I love getting to know the former coaches. And
look, a little bit of a moral dilemma, I guess, but not too much. I got to say, I love Jay Norvell. I love what he has to say. I love that he wants to respect the history. That is Sonny's program. This guy, he might be a home run hire for Colorado State. So, you know what? I'm going to do something I never thought I would do in my entire life. I'm going to give a game ball to Colorado State for hiring Jay Norvell. I like the dude. I love the dude. I'm rooting for him even. I don't know what's wrong with me. Buffs don't hate me. I've got a moral dilemma. I'm trying to figure out who I am. I love you guys. I love Kevin and Rich. You guys are fantastic.
Hey, would you be saying the same thing if he was the coach of Nebraska?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
Yeah, zero chance. Right. Yeah. But D-Mac, you're pretty good at this. We got Nick and Cecil. They're coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.